The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome to the show. Hey, it's me, Matt Slick, and you're listening to Matt Slick Live. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Boy, I'll tell you, I was up till 4 o'clock in the morning last night. Medical stuff with some family member stuff. And boy, been busy. But you know what? Here we are. And 12 hours later, I'm on the air, at least for me. And if you want to give me a call, we can talk. We can talk about all kinds of stuff. Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Unity, Baha'i, Islam, whatever it might be. Now, this morning, well, this afternoon, I had a conversation with somebody. And I was got up, and I just took some time because I needed to relax. And for me, relaxing is kind of odd. I like to listen to theological discussions. I like to get in and have some discussions and some topics and going through stuff. And I had this really interesting conversation with a guy. I want to go over a little bit. Then I want to talk about the issue of marriage a little, because there's some of that that I didn't get to finish yesterday, and so hopefully that'll be something you all want to participate in. And stuff like that. Now, as I was saying, we have five open lines, wide open. 877-207-2276, and last four digits spell C-A-R-M on your phone. So if you want to give me a call, you can. Often the summer time, things get slow, which reminds me, it's Friday. And Friday, I like to do hate mail. Now, I've been talking to people about hate mail, and most people really like it. So I'm going to go ahead and do some hate mail, get into some of the stuff there, and we can talk about some things. But before I do that, I'm going to get into this conversation just briefly that I had with somebody. It was very interesting. And I did something I so very rarely do, and that was reference Proverbs 26, 4 and 5. Now, in those verses there, it says, "Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you'll also be like him. Answer a fool as his folly deserves, that he will not be wise in his own eyes." I actually referenced that to this guy. He's an atheist. And the conversation that we had was an interesting conversation, because he wanted it. I've noticed this with atheists lately. What they want to do, the only thing they want to do, is only critique Christianity. They don't want their own view critiqued. And it's a new tactic that they're using. So they say, I want to do an internal critique, which means they want to examine Christianity from inside of Christianity. And then they don't represent Christianity accurately. They do straw men. And I called him on this, and he didn't like it, of course. And so we had this discussion, and it was really, it was bizarre. So they asked a question about evil. And I said, well, if you guys want to say there's a problem of evil in Christianity, define what evil is. And they said, look, I don't want to have you. He said, you need to tell us what evil is. I says, I didn't raise the issue. You did. You said Christianity has a problem with evil. Okay, define what evil is so we know what you think the problem is. He couldn't define it. He said, well, you define it. Well, you brought it up. You define it. So this is a game that they play, and it's not a very good one. And so I said, after a while, when he admitted, I said, look, you have to admit, you don't have a universally true definition of what evil is. And then, since you don't, how can you know what it is inside of Scripture? And so you don't have a definition. You don't even have the right to ask a question based on your perspective whatsoever. You have to go inside of Christianity. And if you want to define evil from there, I can. So I was leading him down this road. And I said, evil is what is contradictory to God's holiness, but is not in contradiction to him allowing it. And I defined it that way, and That is what they didn't like. Because what they want to do, and this is so much the case, they want to find a definition that suits them so that they can use it against God to say God doesn't exist. They work hard at their own damnation. So I was listening, and I said, no, evil is that which is contradictory to God's holiness, but it's not in contradiction to what he allows. That, right there, was an interesting definition. And he said, well, some people have different definitions, so then you argue with them about that definition. You ask me, you're talking to me, that's what it is. And so he wanted to know if God had a purpose for evil. And I said, well, why would he allow it to exist? And I said, God does not tell us exactly why he allows it to live, to exist. But I can show you verses that talk about the relation of its existence with him. And he ignored that and only wanted to jump on the idea of God allowing it and how it contradicts. It's a contradiction because it's against his nature, yet he allows it, so therefore he's evil. It was dumb. It really was dumb. So get this. I said, you want me to go to the verses or not? And he said, okay. And I went to Proverbs 16:4. God has made all things for his own purpose, even the wicked for the day of evil. And I said, see, there you go, right there. God has a purpose. He doesn't tell us what the purpose is, but he has a purpose. This is the first thing. And he said, well, how do we know that's not talking about cotton candy? He actually said, how do we know that verse is not talking about cotton candy? And I was like dumbfounded, not because it was a brilliant comeback, but because it was so dumb. And I said, what do you mean, cotton candy? I said, what do you think this verse means? The Lord has made everything for its own purpose, even the wicked for the day of evil. He said, oh, it could be about cotton candy. I said, what? It's just, he said, what's your interpretation? How do you know, Matt, your interpretation of the verse is what God, your God, intended? Like, what? We're just reading what it says. And I said, is it a problem to read it and go through it? And he did not want to go through and read it. And I said, so you bring up the idea of cotton candy. Interesting. And we went to, he said, interpretation is a problem. Because how do you know what interpretation is the right interpretation? And I said, well, let's just read it and see if we can interpret it. And he didn't want to do that. I took him to, get this, I took him to John 11:35, where it says Jesus wept. And I gave him the context. You know, Lazarus had died, and Jesus was with Martha, and I found out and went there to the gravesite, and it says, and Jesus wept. I said, I'm going to interpret it. I think what it means is that, well, he wept. He was crying. What do you think? And he said, how do you know it doesn't mean he was laughing? And this is supposed to be an intelligent atheist. And I even told him, I said, you're supposed to be smart. Why are you arguing like this? And he said, he said, why insult me? I said, you're just presenting stupid arguments. This is ridiculous. So he wanted to say that you can't know anything for sure. And I said, well, then, okay. Then I started interpreting his words in whatever way I wanted. Because if you take his principles and you apply it to his own arguments, then nothing makes sense. So I asked him, what are the principles of interpretation? He said, background knowledge and consistency of speech. Those are the two we got to. I said, well, background knowledge, I'll give you the background. Here it is. How do you know that's consistent with God's intention of heart? And I said, you're asking an impossible question. He goes, see? You can't know. And I said, inspiration means that God works through the people at the culture that they're in, at the time that they're in the words they understand to communicate what God wants communicated. There's no problem here. And he refused to accept that. So it was really kind of interesting. And then he said, well, your other people might interpret something differently. I said, well, then you can talk to them about that. I said, I can give you lessons on how to interpret Scripture. And that's when he kept going about this. And I said, let's get back to the verses about evil. And he didn't want to do it anymore. And I said, okay, now I'm going to do this to you, buddy. I said, I don't even know if I've ever done it to anybody before. I said, Proverbs 26:4-5. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be like him. Verse 5, answer a fool according to his folly. that he be not wise in his own eyes. Now that's an interesting couple of verses. Don't answer him according to his folly. Don't be foolish like a fool. But answer a fool the way he deserves, and you'll show how his foolishness is. And that's what I was doing with this guy. I said, you're just being foolish. You're just being foolish. So he said, was it cotton candy? Was one when Jesus laughing. Yeah. And I thought his reasoning was absolutely ludicrous. Now, get this. I said, I don't believe you're capable of a truly intelligent, competent conversation at this point. I think you're being foolish. And he says, okay, we're done talking. And he says, you can't answer all my difficult questions, so you're gone. And is in this room, and he had control, and he moved me away so I couldn't speak, but I could listen. And then the atheists gathered like flies. And they're all buzzing around this guy, talking about how great he did. And it was really interesting, because they're so blind, and they want so much to hate God and to deny him in their own foolishness. So I left, and I went to another room where people had been in that room and listened, and you should have heard them. They said these guys were insanely bad. And we go on and on and on. Now, that's not a big deal, but here's the thing. That people really do work hard at denying God. The atheists work very hard at denying him. I've talked to so many, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. They say they want to be neutral, but they're not. They say, if God's real, I want to follow him, but they really don't. They say they want proof and evidence of God. When I present it, they reject it. They're hypocrites. Now, here's a question. It's easy for us as Christians to look at them and nod in agreement. That's right, Matt. They work hard at being self-deceived. Well, here's a question. Are we deceiving ourselves inside the Christian camp about things? Now, I'm not, just saying it. It's something to think about. How much of what I believe is really true? I look to Scripture. I desire to find what the Word of God says and go with what the Word of God is and says. We got to be careful. We might want to look down our noses, so to speak, at those who don't have the wisdom that we have in the revelation of God's Word. And yet, we've got to be careful that we're not blinded by our own hypocrisy in some areas. It's just a general thing, We got to be careful. Make sure that we're humble before God. That's what kind of transpired today. No big deal. All right, I thought I would just open up with that, and maybe we'll do some hate mail later in the show. And if you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. Let's get to Nick from Arizona. Hey, Nick, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, Matt?
It's going, man. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, I have a question in regards to Jesus dying for our sins. I'm a former Mormon. I came out of Mormonism. I've been out for about 6 years now. I go to a Reformed Christian church here in Arizona.
Good.
And I've been listening to you for a while now and following you for the past several years. But I, her question, she's stuck on...
Can you hold? We got a break. There's it's heartbreak music. So I want to hear. This would be good, okay? So sorry about that. Hold on, buddy. Hey, folks, we have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's get back on the air with Nick from Arizona. Nick, welcome. You're on the air, buddy.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going.
Yeah,
so what's up?
Yeah, my question was about my wife's sister, and she's out of Mormonism, too. She doesn't go with her husband, but she's torn between, like, why did God send Jesus to die for our sins? Why is it necessary?
It's easy. The one who is offended is the one who forgives. Would you agree?
Yes.
Okay. God gives the law, and laws have punishments, right?
Right.
we break the law, we've offended God. We've sinned against God. So, God wants to forgive us, but he can't ignore his own law. If he ignores his own law, he's not righteous. So, people need to be punished. Now, this is what's weird. Because if he doesn't punish people, then he approves of righteousness. Of sin. That's Islam. Because in Islam, for example, Allah just forgives. He ignores his own law to forgive. When the law is ignored, that's unrighteous. But in Christianity, God's the one offended, and God's the one whose law we break, and so he becomes one of us under that law. And what he does is, he's the offended one, because of the Trinity, not three gods, but one God in three persons. He then takes our place, because the breaking of the law is a legal problem. Breaking the law is legal. You break a speed limit, that's a legal problem. Legal debt. In the Bible, legal debts can be transferred. Our legal debt, our sin debt, was transferred to Jesus. So that the one who is offended is the one who forgives, and the requirement of the forgiveness is the fulfillment of the law. Otherwise, God is unrighteous. Since we can't fulfill the law, he has to step in. He fulfills the law by becoming one of us. And since he's the offended one, he then becomes the one who forgives. And that forgiveness is achieved through the fulfillment of the law, which requires a punishment. And he took it upon himself. So the one who's offended is the one who forgives. And he did that on the cross. Okay?
All right, great. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I'll have to go back and re-listen to this and show her this tomorrow. So,
well, it just so happens, if you go to Carm, I have this all written out in greater detail. Yeah. Why did Jesus have to die for our sins? And there it is. Why did Jesus have to die for our sins? And I think, yeah, it's got like 19 points. I just go through slowly. You can see it.
Okay. Okay. That up, and then is there anyone else on hold? Or?
Nobody waiting. Let me get the phone number in case people want to call in. 877-207-2276. If anybody wants to join me, please give me a call. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Okay. My dad, I've been a member of the Mormon Church my whole life. I came out like 6 years ago, and I go to a Reformed Christian church locally. But, yeah, and I follow you, and I agree with a lot of your content on your website, the majority of it, all that. I haven't studied all of it, but my dad was a stake president, and he says that he's had all these experiences, like he's seen like temples and his dreams and stuff, and he claims that it's true based off of his experience and his dreams that he's had. So he shares that with everyone, and everyone believes him.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on this stuff like that?
It's called subjectivism, that truth is based upon a feeling or an experience. But my feeling and my experience contradict your feeling and your experience, so how do we know it's true? If they say, well, I know it's true because of my experience, I know what you believe is false because of my experience. I've had Mormons give me their testimony. They know for a fact. I just wait. I've listened to the Mormon mission. I bear my testimony to you that Joseph Smith is a true prophet. Book of Mormon is a true book. You know, I just listen patiently, and I say, can I bear you my testimony? And they're not used to that. I say, yeah. I bear you my testimony in the name of Jesus Christ, second person of the Trinity, God in flesh, who died on the cross, who rose from the dead. That salvation, forgiveness of sins, is by faith alone in him alone. You've got to ask him. And furthermore, he has revealed in his word that nobody can see the Father. And Joseph Smith said he did. So therefore, Joseph Smith is not true. I bear my testimony to you of the truth of who God is, that your God is false. No, I said I bear this by the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. You see, in Mormonism, it's not an issue of facts or evidence. It's an issue of feeling. Because in Mormonism, you pray about the Book of Mormon. Did you get a feeling? That's what it is. I feel it. I feel. I feel. By testimony, I feel it. this is foolishness. Truth is not determined by what you feel. But people will say, well, I know it's from God. How do you know it's from God? You see, I have a way of getting through that with them. So your testimony comes from the Holy Spirit? Yes. Did you know that Jesus said that he sends the Holy Spirit and that the Father sends the Holy Spirit? John 14:26, John 15:26, right? So if you want the Holy Spirit, either the Father and or the Son has to send the Holy Spirit to bear witness of truth, right? Yes. Okay. Did you know that Jesus says no one comes to the Father but by me? And that he says no one knows the Father except the Son, and to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Matthew 11:27, Luke 10:22. So if Jesus is the one who reveals the Father, then the question then becomes, do you have the right Jesus? Because isn't it true? If you have a wrong Jesus, it'd be ultimately a false one. He's not going to reveal the true God, is he? And you wouldn't have the true Holy Spirit. You wouldn't have bear witness of the truth, would you? It comes down to who Jesus is. I quote from the scriptures again, because they're not used to this thinking. I go through it slowly. You have to have the right Jesus to get the right Spirit.
I've shown my dad multiple things and explained it to him, but he just denies everything. He doesn't accept it as truth. And, you know, I'm patient with him, but it's just, you know, he's in his 60s now, and I don't think he'll ever come out, but it's just...
Try this. Just ask him. Are your sins forgiven right now? All false religions can never know if their sins are all forgiven right now, because their works are combined with the blood of Christ to be forgiven. So they can never know.
And so it's something they have to do on top of what Jesus Christ has done. You know?
Right. That's right. And so ask them, you know, have you done enough? Because Moroni 10:32, if you deny yourself of all ungodliness, then is God's grace sufficient for you? And you should also know Doctrine and Covenants. Let me get to it. Doctrine and Covenants, I think it's 82:7, I think it is. And let me read this to you, because you can show this to him. And this is what's important. You can go to three verses, all right? 2 Nephi 25:23, you're saved by grace through faith after all you can do. And ask him, is he doing all you can do? When we get back, I'll show you what to do with these. There's three things.
Okay, great.
Okay, be right back. Hey, folks, please stay tuned. Be right back after these messages.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back to the show. Nick, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Actually, I'm going to modify this thing a little bit and just tell you, here's three verses out of Mormonism that you can use. And I'm sure we can write them down if you know them, but Alma 11:37. On the same basis, men cannot be saved in their sins. Okay?
Okay, got that one.
Moroni 10:32. It says, yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in him, and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if ye shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you. So wait a minute. So Mormonism is teaching that you have to deny yourself of all ungodliness. In addition, love God with all your might, mind, and strength. You ask him, is he doing that?
That's impossible. There's no way.
Yeah. Well, then, according to Moroni 10:32, God's grace is not sufficient for you.
Okay.
And D&C 82:7. And now, verily I say unto you, I, the Lord, will not lay any sin to your charge. Go your ways and sin no more. But unto the soul that sinneth shall the former sins return, saith the Lord your God. Whoa. So let's get this straight. So, Alma 11:37 says, You cannot be saved in your sins. The standard here of God's grace is you have to deny yourself of all ungodliness and love God with all your heart and strength and mind and all that. And if you sin again, then the former sins, all of them come back upon you. So just ask him, how's that working out?
I'll ask him that.
How's it working out for you?
I'll present those to him.
What's that?
Yeah, I'll present those three to him as well.
Yeah. And then you got to present the gospel, the real gospel. Yeah, they don't know the real gospel.
Yeah, I've presented it multiple times to him in a couple different situations, but it was all like he just got mad and, you know, resented me and told me not to come over to his house for like a whole year, pretty much, me and my family, after we found the true gospel. But yeah, it's just, I gotta continue to be patient with him. I do a lot of praying for him, but
good.
You know, I don't think that, I hope it's helping.
Well, there you go, buddy. That's just something using his so-called scriptures. And his so-called scriptures, they just lead to damnation. They make it impossible. There's no hope for him. And tell him, you have no hope. None. When you want the true hope, the true salvation, come to me. I'll tell you what Jesus actually said. What are you going to do, man?
Right.
You know?
Well, thanks a lot, Matt, for your expertise on that.
All right, buddy. God bless. Okay. All right. Hey, let's get to John from Ohio. Hey, John, welcome. You're on the air, man.
Oh, hello, Matt. Thank you. Praise God and thank Him for teachers like you. I sure enjoy your explanation of the battle you have with the atheists. I have those myself, and it's very interesting. I think they call you because you're kind. I think that's why that guy calls you.
I was tough on these guys.
They're looking for God.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. They're tough on you. They try to be tough too, but to me, they're looking for God. I always give them that passage from Genesis. Chuck Missler taught me that. I don't know if you're familiar with him. I guess you are.
Oh yeah, I used to study, go to his actual classes to sit and watch him teach.
Oh,
it was great.
What a wonderful man! Yeah. What a wonderful man like you. God gave them a destiny that they fulfill, and you do wonderful service for us. I appreciate it. I called you about faith and how our faith gets. We question ourselves. We're humans. We're weak. I used to fix nuclear submarines, and I was ill, and I know my faith healed me. God healed me because of my faith. I'm old now, but it was wonderful. But anyway, that's another subject, the healing. I love the passage of the general when he asks, the Roman general, when he asks Christ to come to his home or to heal his servant. And then Jesus is, I believe he says he's going to proceed to go there. And then the centurion says, no, I'm not worthy to have you in my home. I know that you say to heal him. I'm a general. If I tell my soldiers to go, they will go and do what I tell them. And I know that. And then Jesus was made a point of a look at this, the faith that this man has, and he's not even one of us. You know, I love that passage.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
And I was wondering if you could talk about that. When I think about my faith being weak, I have some of the atheists will even say to me, well, that's kind of phony, isn't it? If you have to ask God to give you faith, pray to God to give you stronger faith. And then I tell them when I was in the Navy, when I watched the Marine Corps guys drilling down there, the poor boots, and they were running with 80-pound packs. And then it was hot, and it was in San Diego, and it was hot. We could see them across the river there. Mm-hmm. And the drill sergeant, I mean, he's giving it to them, you know. And then one falters, and he falls back, and he wants to give up. And the DI goes back, and he's really yelling at him. I guess he's putting on a show for the rest of the platoon. They keep on going double time. They slow down a little bit by his command. And then he actually helps the guy. The DI helps him to get up, to get him to go on, because he wants him to complete it. He doesn't want him to fail. So that's the example that I use. Yeah. I don't know if it works or not, but anyway,
I was
hoping that you could say some words about that.
Well,
pretty close, huh?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, you made me think of a verse, and in Luke 17:5, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And, you know, it's... it's the case that we struggle. In Mark 9:24, immediately the boy's father cried out and said, "I do believe, help my unbelief." He's struggling. We have different ways and levels of belief and trust in God. And sometimes we have the confidence to know that he saves us, but not the confidence to know he's going to help us be able to provide for our family or help us through sickness.
Yes, yes.
Right.
That's a good one. When you think about it, the God wants a woman, the man comes to faith oftentimes because of his wife.
Yeah.
Because they're faithful. They believe. They'll put up with so much.
Mm-hmm.
And then boom, the man will look at the wife, and the child may be ill or something, and the wife prays, and the man doesn't know what to do, but he believes through the wife that there's something here, and then all of a sudden, bam, you know, he comes to God. It shows me, I don't know if it sounds trite or silly to someone else, but it shows to me that God works in all ways. He keeps trying to get you to come to him and believe in him and have that faith. So,
yeah,
when I read him that stuff, when I tell him, ahead, sir.
Go ahead.
Yeah, when I tell my atheist friends, and one of them, he's a big yakker like me, he'll even say things like, he'll tease and he'll say, "Oh, you guys just need the Bible for a pacifier because you're afraid to die," and that type of thing.
And just say, yeah, so.
That's a good one, yeah.
Yeah, so what, yeah. Of course I'm afraid to die. Aren't you afraid to die?
Yes.
Yeah, so, and don't tell me you're not. Don't tell me it doesn't bother you. Don't tell me you don't. It's fine. You know, what's what? We admit it. What are you hiding behind?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, I told him about the message from the Old Testament. He said, "What is that, John? What are you talking about?" I said, "From the generations from Adam through Noah, 10 generations, the firstborn, the name of each. There was a message there. They each named their firstborn." I said, "Look it up." I said, "Man," the Jewish language is so beautiful. Words have meaning and they have numbers too. Adam means man. I said, that starts the message. Man appointed mortal sorrow, but the living God shall come down teaching. His death shall bring comfort and joy. And Methuselah was in that group there, lives 900 some years.
Mm-hmm. When he dies, it will come.
He says, so, yeah, I said, so you're telling me that Adam made up a story like that right from the beginning because he knew that we would be concerned about dying, so it's all a big conspiracy. I said, you see how much God loves you? I said, he gave you a message from ancient times to let you know that he's there for you and that all you got to do is love him. That's all you got to do, just love him. He doesn't want any wages or anything. God is poor. He just wants us to be grateful and love him. That's all.
And pick up the cross daily.
He was speechless on that.
And pick up the cross daily and follow after him. You tell your tough Marine buddy, whoever it is, you say, dude, the Marines is easy compared to being a Christian. A real Christian.
Yeah, well,
it is. Because the Marines, you got a guy yelling at you, get up, pick up, then move, go, 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 you know, hurry up and wait. But
that's what that DI was doing to that guy. We all felt bad. We were, you know, we're a Navy company. There's 80 of us. I was a recruit chief petty officer. We'd just come off the Mike boat. We were learning, you know, I was running the boat. And we were learning that. And then we were relaxing and we were enjoying life. And those poor Marines over there running, I felt sorry for
them. They're tough.
And
they're tough
DI
guys. Oh, look, we got a break. We got a break. There's a hard news. We got a break coming up.
Okay. But, God bless you.
Thanks a lot, John.
Good work. Thank you.
All right, man.
Yes, sir.
Hey, folks, four open lines. Going to give you a call. 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Hey, just want to give you a reminder that we stay on the air by your support. Would you please consider just going to carm.org, carm.org/donate. And, hey, $5 a month would be something great. We can help establish a budget and stay on the air. Here, quick and slick. Let's get to Ryan from Utah. Ryan, we lost Ryan. Okay. Well, I tell you what, it's a Friday, and we don't have anyone waiting right now. So I thought what I might do because I like doing this, is jump over into the hate mail. I mean, what a nice way to end the week out. See, I'm already smiling. I'm already smiling because I love hate mail. Hate mail. And it's for those of you who don't know, if you're listening, like, what the heck is this guy talking about? Well, I run a large internet-based website, and we talk about all kinds of things, and we get thousands of emails. And so we get a lot of hate mail. We put them into a folder, the good ones, so I can read them on the air because I enjoy them. So let me just check this one out. It says, boy, your criteria for finding a church are very rigid, judgmental, and no informed by historical theology. Wow, and no informed. So I guess that only you and your small coterie of people are the only ones on earth who are saved. And this is a PhD guy. And Randall. So interesting that he doesn't refute anything. That's what I've noticed about a lot of hate mail. You're stupid. And then they... That's it. I like those kind of hate mails because they're quick and slick, and you just get done and you move on, you know? Most of these guys, you can tell, man, they're monkeys swinging from the wrong tree. But, hey, I'll read them. I enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. So there's that one. That was okay. It was kind of blasé. Let's see. How about this one? Sometimes, I'll just tell you, just so you know, sometimes a hate mail is a threat. Let's see what this one, because it kind of reminded me that it might be. Death shall come to you, you liar, you cuffer, and when the angel death comes to you with no peace or respect, you shall see the truth and take your soul out. May Allah curse you, you son of kafir. And he goes on, this is to the gut who said bad things about our beloved prophet Muhammad or your beloved prophet Isa Jesus. Yeah, Muhammad was a false prophet, and he had people killed. He took people's wives by having arrangements made by their husbands. Let's just say that Muhammad was, there's no comparison between Muhammad and Jesus and stuff like that. Muhammad's a false prophet leading people to damnation. Now, here's the thing about Islam. You know, you're not allowed to criticize Muhammad, but nothing in the Quran says you can't do that. Nothing in the Quran. They just say that. And they'll kill you. Oh, man, we'll kill you for sin. What? What freedom is that? What freedom? What would Satan want? Any criticism against his God, his idea of God. Oh, we'll kill you for that. That's from Satan. Yeah, Islam is false. All right, let's get to another one. Let's see. Oh, okay, here we go. This is regarding someone. Maureen said, and she's a Catholic, and says this. Now, folks, take note. This is well written. It is succinct. It is to the point. It is simple. Quote, I think your organization is full of baloney. Close quote. Now, there's a good lesson. See, if you're going to write something that's insulting, there you go. Just, I think your organization is full of baloney. Okay, thank you. Is that better than ham? You know, prime rib. But what did you do? I think your organization is full of prime rib. That'd be good. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, good stuff. Anyway, we'll see. Let's see. How about this one? I challenge you to a telephone recorded debate. When is this thing's written? Oh, it's a long time ago. Okay. I challenge you to a telephone recorded debate, you blind heretic. Oh, man, I love this stuff. Visit, and he gives a Catholic website. Visit blah, 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 blah. This will be good for you, our readers. The debate will concern the identity of the one and only true religion and also the unbiblical nature of justification through faith alone and the absurdity of Protestantism. Oh, man. Oh, I like that. I'm a blind heretic. If I'm a blind heretic, how can I read this? Wait a minute. It doesn't make any sense. You're a blind heretic. Then what are you emailing me for? Well, I want you to read it. Well, then how come I be blind? Okay. This telephone recorded... Telephone? Oh, that's interesting. This telephone recorded debate will run on a free form and then a cross-examination format, ensuring fairness and equal time to each side. This prevents you from cutting me off your radio while you're getting decimated. Oh, man, I love that stuff. like decimated. I mean, that's a good word. You don't hear that very often. So, oh man, I love that. So you're I'm a blind heretic. Oh, I'm going to get decimated. It's awesome. Oh, so he goes, okay, he goes on. Oh my God, now, this is what he says, folks. This is not my words. I'm just reading it to you. He says, don't run away like a woman. Wait a minute. Oh man, I'm laughing. I get a good. I misread it a little bit. He goes, don't run away like the woman and coward that you are. So, this guy wants to debate me. He, can I debate you? Yeah. Oh, well, what do you want to debate about? Well, you're a blind heretic. You're a coward, a woman, coward. You're Protestant heresy. Oh, can we have a nice debate where it's every fair? What? So, you call me names and then say, this is how it's going to be. This recorded debate will run a free form, and then this will happen because you're going to get decimated and blah, blah, blah. And I love it when I read these like this. I love these kinds. And then they'll sign it with sincerely. And I just howl. I just crack up, you know, like, love you. Bye. It's like sincerely. Yeah, that's so good. Okay. He said, you read so many Protestant community mythologies. What? Wow. Okay, I have no idea what that means. What are Protestant community mythologies? What would that be? I mean, I can't even think of one off the top of my head. A Protestant community mythology. Would that be like a mythos, you know, that the Protestants were transported by God from Europe to the colonies, and there was a UFO kind of a round piece of land, like 10 miles across, and across the Atlantic? That would be a Protestant community mythology, wouldn't it? I don't know. I don't know. He didn't tell me what it is. I'd be in a debate going, hey, what's a Protestant community mythology? Could you tell me? Because I don't know. It sounds interesting. What is it? Anyway, he goes on. You can reach me through this private email of mine, or, and he gives me a phone number. Oh, man. Yes, I am tempted. Give the phone number out. Everybody call him. I'll debate you and see what happens. You know, he gets like 18 calls an hour. Yeah, I'll debate you. You want to debate about trash cans? You know, because you're a blind heretic against trash cans. All right. Oh, I can just see that. Oh, okay. You know, see, I have too much fun and stuff like this. Now, his pendulum doesn't swing very far. That's another problem this guy's got. Oh, man. His dimmer switch is stuck on low. All right, let's go. I got to go on. I got to read some more of these. Where'd I go? I just moved the hay. Man, I got to continue reading. Here we go. He says, it makes no difference whether it's on your radio show or not. Wait a minute. He said he didn't want it on the radio show because he didn't want me to cut him off. He doesn't make sense. Anyway, so long as the debate conditions and format are stated at the beginning, it will be good for you to study up. I know of your radio show that allegedly attempted to refute justification through faith and works. It was pathetic. See how the Protestant heretic gets demolished in this debate against refuting sola fide. Familiarize yourself with the Benedictine tactics that will throw the Protestant heresy out the window. Wow. I love that stuff. See, that's a good one. That, to me, is enjoyable. Oh, man, I love that kind of stuff. I actually know who these guys are, and now that I think about it, and they couldn't argue their way out of a wet paper bag if the bag was greased and there was a chain pulling them out. They would still go, what do I do? Because they couldn't argue it. And let me get it. Let's see, here's another one from the same guy. I have to inform you in charity that Protestantism is a false religion of man that leads to condemnation. It would seem that as a result of cognitive dissonance, you temporarily downplay the obvious inherent inconsistencies of your man-made religion. One of the pillars of your false religion is that the Holy Spirit will guide the individual believer while reading the Bible. But obviously, the 50,000-plus daily growing Protestant denomination stand is a constant irrefutable proof that the doctors of Protestantism are out and out of the Spirit of Truth. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Anyway, an honest person, I like when they say that too. You know, and if you're honest, you know, so I guess if I don't agree with you, I'm not honest. That's how it works. An honest person would realize that since the original founders of Protestantism disagreed with each other on crucial points of doctrine, Martin Luther condemned the doctrines of Huldrych Zwingli and John Calvin, two other leading Protestant figures. Then on what? What do they disagree on? Essentials or non-essentials? Even in the so-called Catholic religion, there's like 22 rites, different divisions and things like that. And they don't always agree with each other. This guy, you know, just like, oh, put your hand in front of your face, you know. This guy's bubble isn't centered. All right, let's see. Then Protestantism is false religion. You must visit, and then he gives this website again, for the most important information you can ever see in your life. Wow, that website is the most important information you can ever see in your life. Not the Bible. Not the revelation of God in Scripture. No. Wrong. It is instead that website for the most important information you can ever see in your life. There's absolutely no salvation outside the Catholic Church. So see the website again, Protestant. Protestantism is man-made religion. All Protestants are on the path to condemnation. Oh, man. Yeah, I would debate a guy like that, because I like that kind of stuff. I've debated Catholics, and when they can actually have a conversation, you know, and we can actually talk about stuff, I enjoy it. And but you know, sometimes they're so obstreperous that they, you know, their quantum tunneling isn't, or their paint isn't drying very fast, you know. So my favorite one is his monkey isn't swinging from the right tree. That one I like. I like that one. That's good. I get a lot of those. I love those things. What? Okay, if anybody knows, what's the word for those things? You know, his platypus doesn't produce any eggs. Okay? You know, his oil isn't viscous. That frog done croaked. What is the name for those things? Are they aphorisms? What, you know, not aphorisms, but what is it? There's a word for those. If you know what that is, you got to let me know. You got to email me at info@carm.org, because I want to know what those things are called. I enjoyed that. That was refreshing. It's kind of like a summer breeze. Hey, by God's grace, we're back on the air on Monday. I hope you all have a great day and a great weekend. And by His grace, we'll talk to you then. God bless everybody. We'll see ya. God bless. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.